You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Hello!
Last of Ludwig von Beethoven. Tells you once again, we are back on the air. Welcome to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here on this fine Friday afternoon with a special guest. You may have tuned in expecting to hear Stephen Gradonis, but guess what? He's not here because he's busy doing some kind of undoubtedly, you know, fancy thing with his film community friends, no doubt. I don't really know what that is. It wasn't clear. But at any rate, he couldn't be on the show today. However, we have an old friend of the show who many of you will remember from days of yore, Mr. Dale Ahlquist. Dale Ahlquist is the president of the American Chesterton Society. You might know him from EWTN's Apostle of Common Sense series. You may have read some of his books, seen his writings popping up here and there, heard him on the radio. He's just a busy bee, and today he buzzed onto our show. So welcome, Dale Ahlquist.
Mark Shea, it's a pleasure to be with you once again.
Yes! It's always great having you on the show because you kill me. I mean, not literally. It's an expression that I use sometimes, but at any rate, how are you?
Good. I recall the days of yore, as you said, of your past and my past, when yes. I was a regular guest. Now I'm a special guest, and I have to admit, I like being special.
Well, and yes, it's better than being regular, you know. Regular has, well, certain connotations that we just won't go into here, but at any rate, yes. So you are special. And that's great, you know, and I mean, really special, not the kind of special that isn't really special at all, because everyone's special.
Everyone's special, right.
But actually, you know, totally special. So, yeah. So you're busy, still busy running the you got your finger in a lot of pies. You run the American Chesterton Society.
Yeah. There's the American Chesterton Society. There's Chesterton Academy in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Yeah.
Then there are the amazing phenomena popping up around the country, all the other Chesterton Academies. And so there's the Chesterton Schools Network that I am involved in. There are now 9 Chesterton Academies around the country. And
really?
4 in utero. They are ready to be born. We'll probably have really? 2 opening in the fall. Yes.
So just for the, you know, because this show gets heard everywhere, where are they?
Yes, I will tell you. Okay. I mentioned the one in the Twin Cities. We are going to be opening a second campus in the fall.
Really?
Here in the Twin Cities. Yes.
Okay.
And then there's one in Chicago. There's one in Omaha, Nebraska. There's one in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There is one in Buffalo, New York, and in Rochester, New York. There's one in Massachusetts in a rural town whose name is escaping me. So I won't mention the name of the town. It'll remain, but it's there. It's in rural Massachusetts.
Okay.
And then there is probably one of the most interesting ones of all, because it just opened this year, in Philadelphia, in the largest Catholic high school in the archdiocese there, Cardinal O'Hara High School. They have opened a Chesterton Academy track within the high school.
Isn't so, that interesting?
Yeah, that is. So that could be a real groundbreaking thing.
You know, that's breaking a pattern that I used to notice, or maybe it's different for Chesterton Academies than it is for just like local Chesterton societies. But it seemed like for a while, one of the one of the features of Chesterton societies was the more screwy the diocese was, the more vibrant and healthy the Chesterton society was. I don't really know why that is. You know,
yeah, but, it's not quite a strong correlation, because there are screwy Chesterton societies and screwy dioceses.
Oh, well, that's
no, I was just getting the opposite. there's some fine Chesterton societies in fine, strong and good and upright and impeccable and nicely dressed dioceses.
I was mostly thinking of my own diocese.
Yes.
Out here in Seattle. But Seattle has perked up. We clean up pretty good, actually, out here.
And unfortunately, so, your Chesterton Society has evaporated.
Yeah, well, see, it proves my correlation again. See, the society got better, and so the diocese got better, so our Chesterton Society died. But
so you know, there's Chesterton Academies that are in process of starting right outside of Sacramento in a town called Dixon, California.
Okay.
And then one in Salem, Oregon, just north of Salem in the Willamette Valley.
Okay.
And then one getting started in Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
And then another one outside of Philadelphia.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So you might say that you're marching to Peoria. I mean, that's a thing that you could say if you wanted to.
But yeah, if I wanted to, I certainly could say that. But I would have to want to in order to say it.
Yeah. So we'll just pass over that we'll just draw a discreet veil over that. So anyway,
speaking of Peoria.
Yes.
There is the other we're talking about all the things I'm actively involved in. One of the other things I'm actively involved in is ACS Books. We have a publishing arm
Ooh.
Of the American Chesterton Society. Okay. Which also keeps us busy. We've published five titles in the last, there's in process five titles. So
yeah.
we came out with just recently a biography of Frances Chesterton, Gilbert Chesterton's wife, called The Woman Who Was Chesterton.
Okay.
By Nancy Charpentier. Brown, Nancy Carpenter Brown.
Now, how do you pronounce that? Is that Brown or Brown or?
You have to kind of roll the R, and so if you roll the R strong enough, you don't even hear the B. So
Brown.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I love Nancy. I yes.
And then we came up with two books. Just came out a new edition of The Four Men by Hilaire Belloc.
Okay.
Annotated by one deacon. Nathan Allen of the Twin Cities Chesterton Society.
Of Nathan Allen.
And he actually went on, recreated the Four Men Walk, which is what the book is about, a walk across Sussex, England.
Really?
And he annotated the book, and it's a wonderful new edition of the Four Men.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and then a book that just came out, written by – this is the Peoria connection when I said – okay. Speaking of Peoria,
yeah,
fellow from Peoria, Illinois, named Fulton Sheen.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, a lot of people have.
He's got he's got the same name as that guy that was on TV a long time ago.
He not only does he have the same name, in this case, he happens to be the same person.
Really?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah,
and I thought he had died back in the late 70s.
So many people have, but he actually died in 1979. So you were wrong about him dying in the late 60s, but he died in 1979.
The late 70s.
You were absolutely right then, because you can't get any later in the 70s than 79.
You know, that's true.
Yeah. So the good Archbishop died in 1979, but that did not prevent us from publishing a brand new book by Fulton Sheen, of some writings of his that have never appeared in a book before.
Really?
Isn't that cool?
It is extremely cool.
And it's a series of conferences he gave back in 1938. So this is almost 80 years old.
Okay.
It's fantastic. And the title of the book is Justice and Charity. And I will say there cannot be really a more timely book to have been published right now in the wake of the election, in the wake of just a lot of rancor and mm-hmm. division in the country. This Fulton Sheen's words are absolutely a balm. They are a balm, Mark.
Okay. So
Rick, recommend people to get this book from the American Chesterton Society, from ACS Books, Justice and Charity. And I have to say, you know, there's an interesting connection between Fulton Sheen and G.K. Chesterton.
Okay.
Not only were we, of course, privileged to get our hands on these radio addresses that were given, and they were published in a journal, you know, many years ago, but they've never appeared as a book. So this is what's cool. Mm-hmm. But Fulton Sheen went to G.K. Chesterton and asked him to write the introduction to his first book.
Really?
Yes. And Chesterton said yes and did. And he wrote the introduction to Fulton Sheen's first book.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. The name of the book is God and Intelligence, and it's actually Fulton Sheen's PhD dissertation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, Fulton Sheen was a huge fan, huge admirer of Chesterton, and even attended Chesterton's funeral in 1936.
I did not know that either.
And a woman called me up one day, because I think I had mentioned something on our EWTN show about the Sheen.
You know what? We're up against the break, but we will hear the story of the woman and Fulton Sheen right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Dale Ahlquist, president of the American Chesterton Society. And we'll be back on Breadbox Media right after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we're here today with the one, the only, Dale Ahlquist, president of the American Chesterton Society. Although I suppose there are other Dale Ahlquists who are not president of the American Chesterton Society and are involved in other activities.
I understand there's a Dale Ahlquist who's a fireman out in New Hampshire.
There you go. There's some guy out there. There's apparently a folk singer, a videographer who makes documentaries somewhere in Australia, and also a guy who's an expert on reptiles, a herpetologist. And they're all named Mark Shea. And there was actually a Facebook group a few years ago called creatively the Mark Sheas.
Is amazing.
I cannot divulge to you what the membership requirements were to join that group. I've probably said too much already, but at any rate, I was briefly a member, and but then it went away. So yes, there are other Mark Sheas out there. So, but before we went to break, you were telling about Fulton Sheen and a woman that you knew.
A woman who called me up one day.
Yes.
I have a story I need to tell you about the time I met Fulton Sheen.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to repeat the entire story.
Okay.
Because there's only 45 minutes left on your radio
show. Oh, wow. Okay.
Because she started the story with, in the beginning, God created the heavens.
I think my favorite... One of my favorite moments from the show Cheers, it was their very last show, where Diane, who's the incredibly windy barmaid and extremely self-absorbed, They show what becomes of these various characters. And so she winds up writing some avant-garde play that wins a Tony Award. And they're all sitting around watching her at the Tony Awards. And she begins her acceptance speech with, "They say you can't remember your time in the womb." So, yeah. So anyway, 45-minute speech or 45-minute story, but go on.
No. 45 minutes is not enough time to tell the story.
Got it.
Of what she said. But she did, you know, begin with what she had for breakfast that day. It was really, really wonderful. She was a librarian, and she was a huge Fulton Sheen fan. And she was apparently at some university Catholic institution of some kind, and Fulton Sheen was visiting the institution. At a certain point, they escorted him through the library. So he walked through with his entourage and his hosts, and they stopped. Whoever it was, the person of importance said, "Oh, and here is one of your biggest fans. She's read everything you've ever written." And Fulton Sheen looked at her and said, "But who's your favorite author?" And she did not skip a beat. She said, "G.K. Chesterton."
Well, of course.
And Fulton Sheen smiled and said, "He's my favorite author, too." And great story. And she gave me the whole buildup behind it to get to that line, because that's what she wanted to tell me, was that story. So that was
good.
I will say, this is another interesting. I've been doing a lot of research lately on Chesterton because I'm working on a new book and getting a lot of neat historical stuff. There's so much newspaper, old archival newspapers available online. So I've been able to really, really get a lot of neat, obscure stuff that just, no matter how much research you would have done in the old days, you probably never would have found this stuff. But I did find... when Fulton Sheen was, you know, rising to fame, it's about the time that of our book, when he gave those addresses, those conferences in the 1930s, there was an article about him announcing that he was coming to speak somewhere, and it described him as the American Chesterton.
Well, that must have made him happy.
It made me happy when I because I. As you know, Mark, I run the American Chesterton Society, which I guess we're going to have to change it to the Fulton Sheen Society because American Chesterton, right? You see what I'm saying?
Well, just change it to the English Fulton Sheen Society.
Could do. Yeah.
Could do that. Yeah. Yeah. Or you just leave it the American Chesterton Society.
Let people do the math. They can figure it out themselves. Yeah.
Now, I've been told, I can't verify this independently, but I've been told that you like Chesterton and know a thing or two about him. Is there anything to that?
I do like Chesterton. I do know a thing or two. So I think that's probably correct information. Yeah.
Okay,
that's
good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Well, so you're coming out. Are there any other books that you guys are coming out with?
Another one we came out with is a wonderful book called Get Louis Stigs. It is a wonderful, I guess we'd have to put it under the category of crime fiction.
I was going to say that sounds like some kind of Chestertonian murder mystery or something.
Yeah, there's not. I guess there is a murder. It's not so. It is. And there's a mystery. It's not a classic mystery. It's more like, you know, the noir fiction of the 1950s, although it takes place in a more modern day, and it's been sanitized tremendously for a much wider audience. In fact,
sanitized from what? The original manuscript?
No, actually sanitized from the way crime fiction has come to be written, because they think you have to just expose the dark belly of everything. But instead, the plot of this novel is wonderful, is that this really low-level operative in organized crime gets himself in sort of a mess and is pushed into the position where he has to turn state's evidence and testify against the mob.
Okay.
But he also has to pay for some of his sins, right? Mm-hmm. And they put the judge is creative, thinking, well, it doesn't do any good to put this guy in jail. We're going to put him in a monastery.
Okay.
And because the abbot is a former prize fighter who, you know, can look after him, because it turns out the mob still has taken out a hit on him, and they want to kill him. And everybody's after this guy.
Okay.
And it's great because it's a story of the guy in most of stories like this, you know, has one line. He's the henchman, you know, right? But he's the focus of this story. And it makes it interesting to focus on a very minor character in most other novels who is a target to be rubbed out. And it's very funny. And the guy who wrote it's a former FBI agent. So he's knows of what he's doing. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty cool.
Get Louis Stings.
You guys are branching out. I'm you're starting to make waves in the literary world. You got a publishing arm going. And
another thing that the American Cheshire Society's doing, a project we've been working on for years, but it's really coming close to completion, is the digitizing of all of Chesterton's writings.
Really?
Yeah, the Chesterton Digital Library.
Oh, goody.
It's such a tremendous operation and tool that will be so great for students and scholars and everybody. So you basically look up anything and choose a word and find out where it occurs in Chesterton's writings. And we're talking about a gigantic project, Mark, because...
No kidding.
Yeah, he's simply one of the most prolific writers who ever lived. And
yeah.
I never thought we would get as far as we've gotten, and we are almost complete.
How is this done? Is this done by, I presume a lot of the stuff you could just like go to Ignatius, for example, and say, hey, can we have your electronic files of all these giant tomes that you published? Is that how it's
done?
The
thing about Ignatius and their project is that they've with the exception of the Illustrated London News, they've only published his books.
Okay.
And his books are only a fraction of what he wrote.
Right.
And when I say a fraction, I mean a fraction. They're probably about one third of what he wrote.
Really? Okay.
And so we're talking about a gigantic amount of journalism previously uncollected.
Really?
And how do we do it? I've been working on this for years, going through old libraries, looking up things on microfilm, copying them. And then we've had an army of volunteers type them up, because most of these scans are from, you know, microfilm of old newspapers, not easy to read.
Right.
And he wrote, you know, this was, he thought it was ephemeral at the time. He never imagined people would be reading what he wrote 100 years after he wrote it. And it's still so timely and wonderful. Amazing stuff.
Now, are you going through, because a lot of this stuff, you know, has to do with figures and, you know, articles in the news of the day that nobody knows anything about now. So do you footnote this material? Say, here's the guy that he's talking about.
Well, you know, that we're beginning that process. That, you know, annotating all this will be another project. But first, making it available is the first thing.
Okay, very cool. Well, we will continue this conversation right after we return. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Dale Ahlquist, president of the American Chesterton Society, raconteur, Dutch uncle, and all-around swell guy. And we'll be back on Redbox Media right after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Oh, and welcome back to Connecting Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today with none other than Dale Ahlquist. Dale Ahlquist, defender of the faith. Dale Ahlquist, playwright. Dale Ahlquist, president of the American Chesterton Society, headmaster. I'm going to go ahead and say headmaster of Chesterton Academy, because that's an awesome title.
Well, you'd be wrong if you said headmaster, because I'm not the headmaster. I am the co-founder,
okay.
But we have someone else who actually is the headmaster, because if I were the headmaster, I'd be the worst headmaster in the world, because I'm not here enough. And a headmaster has to kind of stay around, look after the school.
I just, you know, the thing about being a headmaster, according to Charles Dickens, at any rate, is, or C.S. Lewis, or... Well, maybe not J.K. Rowling. No, not J.K. Rowling. But in most English boys' school novels, the main task of a headmaster is to be a grim, forbidding presence who paces the halls looking for children that he can victimize on the slightest opportunity with brutal punishments and denying them gruel and that sort of thing. And that really just doesn't seem to be you. You know, it's just
I try to do that with our prospective students before they come. You know, just try to kind of weed them out that way.
yeah. Just you have to have like a riding crop under your arm, you know, for beating hapless children with. That's the kind of thing that headmasters do in Dickensian novels of pathetic waifs.
I do, you know, keep my fingers in enough things at the school because I'm in addition to being the visionary, as it were, I'm on the executive board, and I do teach some classes as well. So I get into the classroom with each of the grades, and that's just a wonderful time. I teach a Chesterton text to each grade at some point in the year.
Okay. So
in 2 weeks, I start Orthodoxy with the ninth graders.
All right. Very good. We've got I've got friends out here. Well, you know them, Stan and Noel Culbertson. I think you know them.
I do indeed. Wonderful people.
Yes, lovely people. We visited them just before the holidays up at their house. They live not far from us, and they have two beautiful daughters who are steeped in Chesterton. And so one of the Christmas presents to Noel was, you may be shocked to hear this, born very close to Christmas, hence the name.
Culbertson. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. And anyway, so their Christmas present to mom was a memorized passage from Chesterton and reciting it for her, which made her very happy. And but anyway, one of the things that I wanted to mention to our audience out there is that all of this tremendous work that is done by the Chesterton Society that does nothing but make the world a happier, better, holier, smarter place. It turns out that the people that do all that work have like families and children who need to eat things. Usually food, right? I mean, that's normally what the children of Chestertonians eat is food. Is that, am I right?
We throw them a shoe every now and then.
Okay.
When they all get their old shoes, they eat them, yeah.
Right. So they have to like get paid with like money and stuff. And so all of that is to say the Chesterton Society is trying to raise funds right now. And you guys out there in Radio Land can be of real help to them on that. And I'm wondering, Dale, if you could tell people how they can give to the American Chesterton Society so that they can continue doing their fantastic work.
Well, thanks for making that known. We really are in a fundraising push right now and desperately do need to raise some money because we did such a poor job of raising it last year.
Okay.
So we're starting the year in a big hole. We're trying to start by filling that hole so we can get up to level. You just go to our webpage at chesterton.org and hit the donate button. And put in the amount that you'd like to donate. We accept any amount whatsoever. We do prefer, however, large amounts. But we do accept any amounts.
Yeah.
And there also is a – we're doing a little crowdfunding GoFundMe drive through our Facebook page, and you can access our Facebook page through the website Chesterton.org, or just go to Facebook and type in American Chesterton Society.
Yeah,
and there's a GoFundMe a link there, otherwise you can call us at 952-831-3096. That's 952-831-3096, and that would be we could take a donation over the phone. And there's also the old-fashioned way, the U.S. mail, still used and preferred by many people.
Okay.
And they
I've
could
heard of that.
They could send us a check or a donation to our mailing address, which is 4117 Pebble Brook Circle, and that's Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55437.
All right. Fantastic. And by the way, all of you guys out there listening, as you probably know but may not know, this show gets turned into a podcast, which means if you didn't get all that information, worry not, because in a few hours I will stick it on my blog, and you can listen to the show, and you can just fast forward to this part of the show if you want and get all that information. But please do. Do what you can to support the great work of the American Chesterton Society. I'm a booster my own self, and I just I love what you guys do. So
thank you. Our other big project. Well, we have two other big things that we have to mention of our activities for the American Chesterton Society, Mark. And one of them is Gilbert Magazine.
Yes,
which is a wonderful magazine that comes out. Month and a halfly. It's the only month and a halfly in the world. And it will always contain a couple of Chesterton essays that are always timely and timeless. A plethora of Chesterton quotations, because he is one of the most quotable writers, really, of the English language. And then there'll be, you know, Chesterton twists on art and politics and religion that are explored through our own current writers. And some of those are great writers like Father James Shaw and Notre Dame's David Fagerberg, myself, and a wonderful dry Canadian writer named David Beresford. It's just a great magazine. It's got
It is. Edited by the indomitable Sean P. Daly. So ex-Marine. So, you know, he's up to the job.
I mean. And then the other big activity, which it's not too early to mention, is our national annual conference. Our annual conference, which every year is in a different city around the United States.
That's right. You know, I wish I could go to it.
Well, I can make your wish come true this year. In fact, Mark, we are going to be announcing that you are one of the speakers at the conference this year.
I am. Then I'll have to think of something to say then.
Yes, please do, because you are going to be one of the featured speakers. We always have great speakers, and we expect you to be no exception to the always great speakers.
One of my favorite memories I've been to actually a number of Chesterton Society conferences, and I think one of my favorite memories was the late great Stratford Caldicott was invited. Oh, what a great guy he was! Yeah. I love that man. And he and I were invited to give the toasts for the Chesterton dinner, and he tried manfully. to tell this joke.
Yes.
And it was so funny. He turned out to be, I think, the worst joke teller in the history of the world.
Which made it the funniest joke.
Which made it even more funny. Yeah, it was just, it was so great. And watching Stratford Caldicott try to tell a joke was it's just one of the many great things that you can have happen at a Chesterton conference.
Well, a Chesterton conference is a time of great joy, great laughter, but also, you know, true intellectual stimulation as we just explore all aspects of Chesterton's thinking, because here's a guy who wrote about everything. And so, you know, we'll go into great literature. We'll talk about wonderful pieces of writing from English literature, not only his own writing, but his take on other writers like Shakespeare and Charles Dickens and those guys. And then you also have his wonderful poetry, his Father Brown stuff, the mystery stuff, his exquisite defense of the Catholic Church and his writings on religion that are just soar and are just so beautiful.
And then the
political and economic stuff that people really enjoy arguing about, and just great debates.
Yeah, it is. And you get a crowd of people there who are, how should you put it? They're used to thinking broadly about everything because they've read a lot of Chesterton.
and they know how to argue. And people are, it's a very charitable time.
Yeah, it is the bomb. It's really fun. We'll talk more about that when we return. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. And we will be back with Mr. Dale Ahlquist right after this.
If you enjoy listening to Mark Shea and all of his wonderful co-hosts here on Connecting the Dots, then consider becoming a friend of the show and provide your support today. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to Mark Shea, and we are here today with Dale Ahlquist. Dale Ahlquist, president of the American Chesterton Society. If you've been listening in rapt fascination and saying to yourself, I must speak to Dale Ahlquist, I have an important word from God to deliver to him, and you can't remember the phone number because I haven't given it through the show, well, you're in luck, because now I will. That phone number is 1-573-4-BREAD-4, 1-573-4-BREAD-4. You can also tweet us at Breadbox Media. Now is your chance to talk to Dale Ahlquist and give him a piece of your mind. Please direct all criticism to Dale Ahlquist. Direct all praise and charitable donations to me, Mark Shea, except for the Chesterton Society. Charitable donations, go ahead and give those to the Chesterton Society.
Right. I think got criticism and donations both. No problem.
Okay. All right. So that's good.
The best kind of criticisms are the ones that are accompanied by a check, though. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And fire away is what we're saying.
Those get my attention, man.
1-573-4-BREAD-4. Yeah, you can call and say, Dale, I will happily give the Chesterton Society $100, but first I get to speak my mind. Something like that.
That's what I want. Give him that number again, Mark.
1-573-4-BREAD-4. And yeah, give us a call. So anyway.
The Chesterton Conference. We have not said when and where it's going to be, nor have we given other information.
Let it flow right now.
I think people should start planning now to attend, because it's going to be in Colorado Springs, a beautiful place.
Yes.
Colorado Springs, it's going to be the final weekend of July, July 27 through 29. And it's going to be at the beautiful campus of University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. You will see mountains.
Yes. You can, in fact, go all the way to the top of Pike's Peak.
Yes, you can. You ever done that, Mark? You ever gone to the top of Pike's
Peak? I have indeed. And I got to tell you, there's not a lot of oxygen up there.
It's a weird feeling, isn't it?
It really is. I thought they were going, you got to take your iron pills and drink a lot of water. There's not a lot of oxygen up there. So I was going, whatever, you know. So we got up there, and I'm not kidding. I walked from the car over to the visitor center. It was maybe like 30 feet away. And by the time I just walked. And by the time I got over there, I was like, they've got an oxygen bar in there where you stick a quarter in the thing and you can just suck oxygen out of a tube.
Yeah, I took my son there. I was on a, gave some talks out there. I took my son with me to Colorado, and we took the train up to the top of the Pikes Peak, and it was really interesting, really fun. But we got out of that train, and it was just such a weird feeling. And we went and ate one of those donuts that you eat at the top of they make donuts up there, and that donut was a key. That was a key ingredient to. To keeping everything together.
I think my favorite science experimenty thing about going to the top of Pikes Peak, which, by the way, if you have ever sung America the Beautiful.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was written by a woman who went on a day trip up to the top of Pikes Peak, and she was so moved by the view that she wrote America the Beautiful.
Oh, Beautiful for Spacious Skies was based on Amber, the view of Pikes Peak.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we had like a 2-liter bottle of water. You drink a lot of water because you're just voiding it into practically – you're at the edge of space up there.
Yeah.
So you're voiding a lot of moisture into the atmosphere, and you're always thirsty. So we brought a 2-liter bottle, which we downed, and then sealed the cap back onto the bottle, and then we drove back down the mountain to Colorado Springs. And by the time we got to the bottom of the mountain, that 2-liter bottle was completely crushed flat just by atmospheric pressure. It was pretty impressive.
That is science at work right there.
It was science happening right there, yes. I'm sure somewhere Chesterton has written about crushing 2-liter bottles with atmospheric pressure.
He's written about everything. So people can come to the conference and go up to the top of Pike's Peak. They can recreate the Mark Shea 2-liter bottle experiment.
Yes.
Have that experiment that experience for themselves. So that's July 27th through 29th. Among the other speakers will be Christopher Check, Joseph Pierce.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. The wonderful Regina Domann.
Oh, I love Regina.
Yes.
Oh, golly, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conference. And
great.
So, we look forward to seeing everyone there.
Now, are you going to be there, too?
Yeah,
I mean, do you come to these sometimes?
I'll be there, and I'll probably give a talk, too. The theme of the conference is marvelous. It's the tyranny of the learned.
All right.
The tyranny of the learned.
I will help talk about that.
Yeah. So we're going to be... obviously, there'll be a little education is going to be an increasing theme of the work of the American Chesterton Society, because we are really creating a new apostolate that is dedicated to both evangelization and education because of the growth of the Chesterton Schools Network, but the continued work that Chesterton himself does, even across one century, to really defend the faith, but to spread the faith, because Chesterton, through his sheer goodness, makes people love God. And that's his importance.
That, by the way, is something else that you've been busy with, isn't it?
Yeah, that is another activity.
Urging the canonization of G.K. Chesterton. I wholeheartedly agree. He should be, he should be canonized.
Yes, if anybody wants to get a Chesterton prayer card, just send me an email at info@chesterton.org, and we'll send you out a Chesterton prayer card. You can ask for his intercession. And we've given out over 10,000, probably 14,000 of the prayer cards now, and people have been using them, and great results. I think it's going to pave the way to Chesterton's canonization. He is definitely part of that communion of saints, and we look forward to the day when the church declares it.
You know, whenever I write, when I get up in the morning and I sit down at my computer, I start writing. I invoke the intercession of St. Athanasius, St. Dominic, St. Tertius, St. Anthony of the Desert, G.K. Chesterton, St. Francis de Sales, and the Blessed Mother. I always ask for them to pray for
me. That's a good collection of people to ask for help from.
Well, and Chesterton, I mean, I can't call him Saint G.K. Chesterton, you know, and I got to say, I'm sure that he would be very embarrassed by Saint G.K. Chesterton, but he should still be canonized anyway.
Well, and if you can tell me a saint that promoted his own canonization, yeah. I will. I mean, people always say, well, Chesterton wouldn't have approved it. Well, yeah, which saint approved of his own canonization? That's one of the evidences of their holiness. They were so humble, they didn't think themselves worthy.
Right. Yep. Yeah. But I look forward to the day that I can call him St. Gilbert. I don't know. I mean, the Holy Spirit can do anything, but I sort of expect that I'm 58 years old. I don't really see it happening in my lifetime, but it should happen, and God willing, it will happen. So,
well, I don't intend to die until I see it happen, Mark, and correct. I'm your age, so.
Okay. Well, you know what else? I mean, I remember you one time saying that you would become Catholic when the church canonized G.K. Chesterton.
Yeah, I did say that once.
And then I loved it because you got it. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at work. You just got up one morning and, I don't know, we're shaving or looking in the mirror or something. And you said, that's a stupid reason not to be Catholic. But, okay, that's reasonable. So, so that's more good work that the Chesterton Society is doing.
Yeah, and, we are very, very busy and doing a lot of good things. And it takes up a lot of time and energy, but we really are blessed to be able to do what we do. But we do need some support. We're really asking people to help us out right now. It's a time of great need for us. And
please do.
Very grateful for the donations.
Yep. Yes, I threw a chunk of change at you guys yesterday because I believe in what you do. So other people out there listening, please throw a chunk of change at the G.K. Chesterton Society. You didn't need that cup of coffee anyway. And so, good. Well, we've just got a couple of minutes left before we have to say goodbye to all the members of the clubhouse. But is there anything in closing about the work of the Chesterton Society that you'd like people to know about?
Well, let me maybe close with some words from our guy, huh?
All right, do it.
All right. Let's see. I just happened to have something here.
A few well-chosen, well-prepared words.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
We're running out of this. You got 1 minute.
No, that's really good. Okay. How about this one? Oh, no, this is good.
Make it fast.
How about this? No, that's not good. Okay. Oh, there's so many good ones. Oh, here's a great one. Children are innocent and love justice, while most of us are wicked and naturally prefer mercy.
There we go. That's true. Or we say of a man who can hit his mother between the eyes with a rifle shot at 100 yards that he's a good shot, but not a good man.
A good quote. So,
yes. All right. Well, I want to thank you, Dale Ahlquist, for being on Connecting the Dots today. I'm your host, Mark Shea. Our producer today was Danny Head, and we will be back on Monday with Sherry Antonetti. Until then, have a great weekend and a happy Epiphany. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.